So tonight we have a bush that is on fire but won't burn. We've got a fig tree that won't fig or produce figs. And we have a relatively ordinary man in the middle leading to a fairly extraordinary man. So we have Moses, who in one sense leads us to Jesus. So we bring together the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we bring together that which is relatively ordinary, and it becomes extraordinary. A little bit about Moses, firstly. Why? I wonder why God would choose somebody like Moses to be the instrumental figure that he was. He, in one sense, he was the prelude before Jesus. Well, if you go back, and we don't know a lot about Moses, we know a bit, but we don't know a lot. But we do know that at one stage Moses saw an Egyptian kill one of the Israelites when they were a slave in Egypt. And Moses intervened, but Moses killed the Egyptian. We then saw Moses observe two Israelites when they were slaves, still in Egypt, fighting. And Moses intervened again. And then after the Pharaoh found that Moses had killed an Egyptian, Pharaoh was hunting Moses, and so Moses had to flee, and he fled out into the desert, out into the Sinai desert, just this side of Sinai. And there he came across three women who were trying to have their sheep watered, led to water. But the shepherds from Midian, that part of northeastern Egypt, the shepherds wouldn't let the women water their sheep. And that was Jethro's three daughters. Moses saw that and he intervened. And the women were able to carry on. So obviously God saw in Moses that this was an observant man, and he was a man who fought for justice. And that may well be the reason that he chose him to take the Israelite people out of the unjust situation that they were living in Egypt, and then lead them all the way to observe the promised land. So he was chosen because of his just heart, I suspect, and his good vision. Tonight we have him being a very ordinary man again. He's fled from the Egyptians, a bit like my brain, fled from the Egyptians, and he is now shepherding the sheep that were being watered by the three girls earlier, because he ended up marrying one of them, as you do. And it's at this point that he observes the bush that is on fire, and he approaches it again. And then we have that wonderful exchange that is started by God, not by Moses. So it is God who has the conversation with Moses, and Moses listens. So Moses really uses all of his senses when he is trying to work out what is the extraordinary thing happening in the ordinary thing. It's just a bush, and then it starts to be on flames, but it doesn't burn. Then God says, take your shoes off. You are on holy ground. Moses knew that he was in the presence of God and covered his face. There was always the fear. Fear is not in the sense that I'm scared. The fear is being overcome by the awesomeness of God. So even to this day, for example, if you go to a mosque, the Muslim people take their shoes off, and then they pray very often with their hands like that. And it comes back to the heritage that they have gained from Moses. Because we share that commonality. We are people of the book, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. Of course, there are differences. but we are people of the book. And no matter what our particular focus, we know that we are on holy ground. It may not seem holy ground, it may seem extremely ordinary. For mostly, the things that we repeat so often in our life come from being extraordinary to being ordinary. It's a sad thing that happens to us. With our First Communion children next weekend, for example, they have been excited and have been preparing well to make their First Communion next weekend. And then, in time, if their parents would only bring them back to Mass regularly, in time, communion becomes mundane or routine. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. The shine, the specialness of it goes away. That which they were looking forward to, they've now achieved. What next? It's a part of our human nature, I think. In relationships, when it's all guzzy and fireworks at the beginning, when we get over that stage and things become routine, if people don't inject something extraordinary in their relationship, every now and then, that element of positive surprise, then through that routine and that mundaneness, relationships can die. And it can be that way with our faith as well. So I'm encouraging us at this time to look at the ordinary of our life and find the extraordinary. It is there among us. The very name of God means I am. It means I am everywhere. And I am present here and now. So we don't have to go on to great lengths to find God, because he is here. He is with us, because his very name means I am. And then you can add in everywhere, you can add in I am here. Elizabeth Barrett Browning had a beautiful poem that she wrote in the late 1800s that said this: Earth crammed with heaven, and every bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest of us sit around and pluck blackberries. Until we take our shoes off, figuratively speaking, until we take our shoes off, we're going to be stuck in the mundane. We're going to be stuck in the routine. We're going to be stuck at looking back at our regrets of the past. We're going to be stuck with our head in the clouds, dreaming of a future, when all along God is present here and now. We just have to be open to the possibility of being with him and recognising him in what we may think is ordinary, but it's actually extraordinary. It's through the routine, in one sense, that we cement our relationship with each other and with God. So we need the constancy, if you like. We're not hit and miss people. We do need the constancy. This would be chaos, for example, in this parish, if I kept changing Mass times. And people would say, look, I don't know whether Mass is 6 o'clock or 6:30 or 7 o'clock this week. That mad priest keeps changing it, so I wouldn't have a clue. So I'm not going to bother. That's what happens. So there are positive and negative ways of introducing change and growth. And it comes out of something which is ordinary, and it becomes extraordinary. And I think the parish here is really quite extraordinary. The other challenge, I think, for us is that that in this world, in Australia particularly, that we live in, we talk about the secular and we talk about the sacred. Now, if God is here and God is everywhere, then there is no unsacred place as I look at it. The only distinction between the secular and the sacred, it really lies with us. It doesn't lie with God. We make it secular or we make it sacred, because God's presence is actually there it's us who do not recognize him in the sometimes ordinariness or everydayness of our life. And as I think back on my pilgrimage experience, feet were always the focus. But there's one of the thoughts that I wrote down, and I wrote something every day, was if we're always looking back, we regret. We're focused on regret. So if our feet are facing backwards, quite often we're looking to the past, to the regrets of the past. If we're always looking to the future, our feet are always, we're running forward all the time, our head is often lost in the mist of the dreams. But if we actually stop moving, which you are doing now, you've actually done that. If we actually stop moving, we hold our feet still, we're living in the present. And God is in the present. God is among us, as I keep saying. And we will observe all the burning bushes that exist in our life. Helen Morcombe wrote a little piece back in the 80s when little pieces were very trendy, like bumper stickers, little prayer thoughts. But it's actually on the theme of the first reading, calling God I Am. That's his name. It means I am everything, everywhere and present. Those two little words, I am. And she says, when you live in the past with its mistakes and its regrets, it is hard. And this is God speaking. I am not there. My name is not I was. When you live in the future with its problems and its fears, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I will be. But when you live in this moment, it is not hard, because I am here. Because my name is I am.